song, said as he sat down to write the song, he began with the chorus, which begins with these words, "How great is our God." And then apparently he got stuck just after those few words. Because what do you say next? He said this in an interview. "I prayed to God, this is all I have, Lord. There are no other words I can summon in the English language to describe how great you are." So for a while, just those words, "How great is our God," was the sum total of the entire song. I can see his point. I'm not a songwriter, but if you were writing a song or a poem, just ask yourself, how would you describe the greatness of God? And just have a ponder on that to yourself, because theoretically we're not meant to be shouting out. How would you describe, in a way that does it dignity, how would you describe the greatness of God? Well, we know Chris Tomlin finished the song because we've sung it before, and he borrowed lots of the imagery in the song from Psalm 104, which says this: "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains." As I was thinking about what to say this week, I got a bit transfixed on verse 2. "The Lord who wraps himself in light and stretches out the heavens as a tent." I think that is a beautiful image to think about. On the screen is a picture of a galaxy. In case you did not know, that is a galaxy. According to Google and the Hubble telescope, we're all going to learn something now, there are at least 100 million galaxies. 100 million galaxies. In each of those 100 million galaxies, according to Google, there is on average 100 billion stars within each of those 100 million galaxies. Now, can you get your head around that? That is a big lot. That's a lot of stars, a lot of galaxies. The vastness of that is almost beyond comprehension. I heard this week this: if you counted up to a million, one number a second, one, two, three, four, etc., that would take you 3 months, apparently. Some people are going, "I'm not quite sure that's right." Dave's going, "Are you sure?" That's what I read on the online. So, 3 months to count to a million. Who knew? It would take you 32 years to count to a billion. I went on a Google rabbit hole this week. And wait for it, it would take you 31,710 years to count to a trillion. Now, if you've not got anything else to do in lockdown, there's a job for you. These numbers roll off our tongue when we are thinking about what God has created. The millions and billions of stars, the galaxies, the vastness of the heavens that God has made and nonchalantly stretches out before him like a tent. Wow. I don't know about you, but that completely humbles me. It makes me feel insignificant in comparison to that. And then I remember that God has got intricate down to a fine art too. These are pictures of snowflakes magnified under a microscope. Every single one of them is different and beautiful and unique. Isn't that astonishing? Look at them, aren't they beautiful? Again, another Google rabbit hole was found this week, and then I carried on and found something else. This is sand. These are grains of sand. How beautiful are they? We have lots of sand in West Kirby. We have lots in our roof. I don't know if you knew that. We have lots on the bottom of our shoes and in the car well of our cars. But perhaps we'd appreciate it more if we saw it up close like this. Every grain unique. I thought that was an amazing picture that says something about the care in which God makes the world. But we don't worship creation, we worship the Creator. Remember this from Matthew's Gospel. Are not two pennies sold for a, not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hair on your head is numbered. So do not be afraid, you are worth more than sparrows. So the hand behind every grain of sand, behind every hair on your head, and the uniqueness of every snowflake is the one who is so infinite that he lays out galaxies before him. He is knowable. He is infinite and yet intimate. The one who casts the stars in the sky is also nearer to us than our heartbeats. The one who knows the number of hairs on our head, or if in my case, on the floor or in my hairbrush, knows us better than we know ourselves. And I find that inspiring. That is who we worship. How great is our God? I wish you could sing with me. Psalm 104, verse 2 says, he wraps himself in light as a garment. And I got thinking, is this just a poetic way to describe creation like the rest of the psalm is? And I began to think, why does God need to wrap himself in light? Because we're told in Scripture in 1 John 1, verse 5, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Why would the one who isn't created wrap himself up in something that is created, because he doesn't have to? I wonder if God wraps himself up in light so that he can be seen by us. It's a physical expression of his glory. So he can be seen by us and we can glimpse him. We can see something of the God who is great and invisible and yet intimate. He wraps himself in light so we can see him. A bit like in the Old Testament, when God allows himself to be seen as a pillar of light or of fire and smoke, so people knew which way to go in the promised land. He wraps himself up in something that he's created, just like he allows himself to be wrapped in flesh and bone and to be born in the clothes of humanity in Jesus, so that he could be seen, so we can understand him and know him and he us. The same God who throws the stars into the sky makes a way for us to know him. And that is Jesus. The God behind those galaxies is the same God who allows us to call him Daddy. Wow. How great is our God? Do we have the words? The words to describe who he is and what that means to you. The one who was there right from the beginning, before creation, there as Father, Spirit, Son, the Godhead, three in one. That's another sermon for Trinity Sunday. This is amazing. That God is infinite and everlasting and unfathomable. There's so many words, but they don't sum up who God is. So given all of that, of how great God is, how do you respond to that great God? If there's a infinite, invisible, incomparable king over the universe, that splendor of a king that we're going to sign about. Well, what do we do when we come before a king? Well, we're meant to bow. Do we bow before the king and worship? In the song we're going to sign later on, it says this: name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God. I believe a day will come when we will all get the opportunity to do that in front of God, face to face. We will have an opportunity to worship in his presence, to kneel. Everyone will get that choice, to kneel, to bow, and to worship. Do we do that? Have you done that? In a few moments, we're going to sign the song. You don't know how hard it is for me not to say, as a habitual thing, to sing the song. We're going to sign the song, and we're going to worship in that way. But until the children come in, we're going to reflect on one more worship song about the greatness of God. And whilst it's on, and whilst you're thinking about the words, I would like you to consider your relationship with God. I don't know what life has been like for you in these lockdown times. I know that it's been great for some and not for others. I don't know what that has meant to your faith over the last few months. We're kind of at a begin again time. Now we have returned to our building. I want you to consider your relationship with God. Do you need a back to school, new term, clean page? God has created us to bring him honor and bring him glory, to be his children But the first point that we all need is to confess that we need to be his children and that we need him to be in charge. And first we have to kneel and accept his kingship over our lives, to say yes to all that Jesus has done on the cross for us. If you've not done that, this is an opportunity to metaphorically to kneel and give him ownership afresh of your life as we reflect on these words.